Futso community, welcome to Futso in Australia podcast number 18. My name is Andre Carno, social media as The Doctor, and I have two very special guests here today. Every podcast I bring someone that can share with us a beautiful story about Futso in Australia, and today is not different. I have Guilherme Carniel Gui, CEO of Soccer de Brazil. Gui, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Andre. Thanks for having us. It's awesome.
Look forward to talking to you. And I have Theo Vasilikopoulos. Is that right?
Man, you got a good man. That's it. Vasilikopoulos.
Thanks for having us. General Manager of Soccer de Brazil. Theo, thanks for coming on the show as well.
Thanks for having us. I'll watch your podcast all the time, man. It's brilliant.
I look forward to talking to you guys. We just had the Futsal Rules competing in the AFF. Was great to have the Futsal Rules back. So we have this beautiful momentum for futsal in Australia. But it's great to also talk about the grassroots. And that's why these guys are here. Gui is the owner. What are you, Gui, of Soccer de Brazil? You're everything, aren't you?
Yeah, at the moment. Well, I was everything. And now with the brilliant team that we have behind the scene, we're able to start delegating and make sure everyone takes advantage of being in a company, being in a team.
Very good. And Theo, general manager, does do everything now for Gui.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm spread across all the states and, love working for the company. Couldn't ask for a better job. It's amazing. Been there now, four or five years, yeah.
Very good, very good. Guys, we're going to be talking about the academy. So the academy is located now in three states. It's claimed to be, and I think it is, the biggest futsal academy in the country in number of teams. Is that right? Do you guys consider being the biggest futsal academy in the country?
Well, do you want me to answer? Yeah.
Look,
it's hard to say because there's so many variables there with how many teams we have. For instance, I think in Western Australia, we're probably one of the biggest, most amount of teams. New South Wales, we'll get to that in a sec in terms of teams and playing competitions and so on. But in terms of players for futsal, I think we would be the biggest academy in players. And for teams, I don't really know. But players, yes.
Do you know off the top of your head how many futsal teams you have?
Guy, let's go Western Australia.
Yeah, in the winter season is starting now. So this coming Saturday is round one of JSFL competition. And started last week the PFL competition. So we have about 13 teams in a competition.
13. So just number of teams. We're going to get into details of each state very soon, but just roughly number of teams in WA 13, Queensland.
Look, Queensland at the moment, we're probably looking at another four or five teams. New South Wales, at the moment it's difficult because there's nowhere to play. So right this minute, we can say no teams. But if we were to put teams into a competition, we'd fill from under sixes through to adults if we wanted. Two teams in each age group. We could have 30 teams if we wanted. But there's nowhere
Andre,
to put them.
We hit the record, man. I think at once in New South Wales, we had about 33 futsal teams playing the league.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, our last main competition in New South Wales was, we had 33 teams playing at the one time. So, yeah, man, you can say it's quite big.
So you're saying that you have junior teams ready to play, but there's nowhere for them to play. We're going to be talking about that in a sec. But hold on.
Yeah.
guys, just before Christina, I have the pleasure of meeting these guys at the Junior Futsal Nationals over the years when I used to run the tournament for futsals, always with happy smiles, never one headache from Soccer de Brazil. So a very good academy to attend tournaments. And we also went to the AMF Under-13s World Cup in 2019, which Gui was the head coach. I was his assistant coach, and Theo was one of the parents because his son played in the tournament. So we had a great time, didn't we?
Yeah, it was, but for me and for all of us, incredible. The bonding that we had with the organization members as well as the players and the parents, it was fantastic. One of the good memories, it was against France. Wow, what a game, huh? Halftime. We're down 6-1. Second half, inspiration chat on a changing room. We turn around to 8-6. It was incredible. Incredible.
And we qualified to the round of 16s, which is the only Australian national team, futsal national team, to ever make finals. So that's good memories. All right, guys, before we talk about Soccer de Brasil, I always like to get to know the person behind your job. Gui, talk us through your background from growing up in Brazil to moving to Australia, just quickly, if you can make it.
Oh, guys, wow. I was just a normal and player and a student that always dream about becoming a professional soccer player, just like majority of the kids in Brazil wants to be. But the older that you get, less opportunity you're starting to have, and especially living in a small city. So I'm from Maringá, which is a city on the state of Paraná, and Paraná is located on south of Brazil. And I was 16, 17 years old, and I just got an opportunity to go to America. A friend of mine used to play for Ponte Preta. He came to holiday in my city, was my best mate, and he came to my house and go, Gui, I think we should go to America. Let's play in America. I was watching them playing on TV, MLS, and I think we got a good chance there. Let's just go. And then, I don't know, something just spikes up. 1 year later, him and I took the flight, the plane, and here we go to Denver, Colorado. We've tried to play professional, but through the visa situation, we couldn't really make it. And then more opportunities came, because I think it's all about taking risks, man. You gotta go follow your dream. It doesn't matter what, you just gotta make it. And then when you're there, you know what's gonna happen. So it didn't turn out that I became a professional soccer player, but it turns out that I got an opportunity to become a soccer coach. And from that moment, it was about 7 years in Denver providing futsal training to the Colorado kids. I was one of the pioneers of futsal in Colorado when I first landed in 1999. It was a great experience. So 7 years in Denver, Colorado. After that, I was looking for something different. So I took myself to Spain, went to Barcelona, but had no clue I was going to end up coaching the Barcelona Escola. So 3 months after landing in Spain, researching here, sending curriculums there and here, got an opportunity to start coaching for Barcelona, assistant under 11s and 13s football. But the technical director from the Escola saw my resume and saw that I was more into a futsal coach. So there was an opportunity to go to Japan representing Barcelona to coach futsal. So I stayed 3 months in Japan, meeting a new country, getting a new culture, just because the futsal and the risk that I took to go to Spain. After that, I came back to Brazil again, and I was looking for a country that speaks English, is developing on a football and futsal environment, and it's not as cold as Denver. So I was in between Canada and Australia, and spoke to my wife and say, okay, you know what? Let's try Australia. So that was the third country that I went by myself. No plans. And landed in 2008 in November in Sydney. And since then, we took off with, you know, STB, the Soccer de Brasil Academy, that it took off first in America, but and then I just restarted again in Australia. And
so let's just take a break from that point there. Let's just not talk about Soccer de Brasil just yet. You made a very long story short. I know there's so much, so many details that we could get into. One thing I want to mention is Paraná is one of the strongest futsal states in the country of Brazil. So we must mention that bit. Now, you say that you started futsal in the States. So there was not much futsal at that time, and you started a futsal academy there?
Yes. So I think I was first when my first coaching career was when I was playing games in a weekend. A guy named Gerard came to me and said, which was my coach, and he goes, I'm going to take you to my under-11s team, and I want you to show them some tricks and just play with them. Show them this elastic, all these things that you can do. And I go, okay. So 1 hour after, when the session finished, he goes, "Man, you're good at the kids. Why don't you start coaching football?" And that's when he clicked it. And from there, I was coaching for Littleton United, a few teams, making $100 every 3 months, man. Not even worry about the income. More care about the love of being around football and kids. And I started growing slowly. One-on-one started taking off. Got into a time where, okay, my English is better. I took a few courses of football. I think now it's time for me to start my own business. And that's when Carneal Soccer came first.
Carneal Soccer.
And then after a few years, I was looking for a name related to Brazil. And then 1 year before I left United States, Soccer de Brazil came.
You did leave Brazil very early at the age of 17. You said that you had to take risks. You've taken risks a few times, moved to the States when you're 17, after you moved to Spain, moved to Australia, lived in New South Wales, now lives in Queensland. Is that it for you now? You're going to stay in WA? So not Queensland, you're going to stay in WA for a while?
I think for now, this is the spot to keep helping the community here. I want to build a strong foundation, managers, coaches, and then after this foundation is all set, who knows, explore a new state. I love taking risks, man. My whole life has been like this.
What about working for Barcelona? What's something that you learned? Of course, not even in the game, something about the organization of Barcelona that makes that club so big.
Well, I think one of the tiki-taka, one of the training sessions that I was always watching is the rondos, you know, the overload, the more players on the ball than the opponent, always have, you know, more players than the defenders around the ball. And on top of that, man, the organization is fantastic. Yeah, they have the Camp Nou, and right next door is the gymnasium. So as soon as I finish my training sessions, I used to go watch the futsal Barcelona train. There was a few Brazilians there. It was like living the life, life. I used to live 40 minutes away from Barcelona, Castelldefels. So I had to take a bus and then Plaza España and then catch the train, go to Camp Nou, and then walk another 100 meters. So again, and there was no cash involved. It was just the love of being there and be part of that huge organization.
Did you get to watch many of the futsal matches there?
Huh?
Did you get to watch many of the futsal matches for Barcelona there?
Yes, I did. I did watch a few. I don't remember the name of the Brazilian players that were there, so I'm sorry about that, but it was awesome.
Amazing. All right, Theo, when did you come? Of course, you have a Greek background. Were you born overseas?
Born in Australia. Born in Australia. You can tell probably by my Aussie accent. There's no Greek accent there. Born in Australia. I grew up in Australia in Sydney. But Greek parents.
Greek parents. And when did the love for futsal and soccer come?
Football and soccer, you know, from a young age, I played just community soccer, like every kid did in Sydney back then. It's funny that I lived in an area where I was pretty much the only non-Australian background kid, so everyone looked at me as the best soccer player on the team, even though I probably wasn't. It was just because I had the long last name, you know, and everyone associated football with Europe. But look, as I grew up, you know, football wasn't a major thing for me as a young kid, trying to be a high level player. I was just a community player. But I came involved with SDB probably about officially 5 years ago. Before that, I was in hospitality and running own businesses and in the corporate world. So I had a lot of business background, understanding of, how things work in the corporate world and in the business world to, you know, make things move forward the right way. And I came involved with Soccer de Brazil through my son first training there, getting to know Guy and, of course, Sean, who I have got a connection with outside as well, who's Guy's partner in the business. But my son started training there at 6 years old, and I'll be honest with you, I was a football guy. You know, I was the guy that always said, man, futsal, man, it's indoor soccer. It's like a lot of parents do now. You know, it's man, it's not football. You know, it's not Barcelona. It's not Real Madrid. It's not Liverpool. You know, it's not these teams. But, man, I could tell you after probably about 6 or 12 months, you know, I was converted. I was converted because my son started pretty much at 6 or probably 7 years old, and I was doing futsal. That's it. It was the academy, and we just went to futsal. You know, 2-3 days a week of training futsal, and then you could see what was happening. You just saw the skill level. You saw the enjoyment of what the kids get playing futsal. You know, like playing football, some kids never touch the ball. You know, and then it's just the kids running in a group trying to score goals. There was no tactical or technical, you know, idea of what they were doing at that age. But when we went to SDB and Guy was taking the training sessions, I got converted. And I said, well, man, futsal's the way to go. The kids love it. There's goals. Every kid on the team can score a goal. You know, you're on and off the field, off the court very fast. So I loved it. But then after a few years of staying training, and my son still trains there, to be honest, to tell you that. But Guy and Sean had built a business where it started to grow. Lots of people had inquiries. They had employed a operations manager at the time. That didn't work out as planned. The operations manager ended up leaving, and my businesses that I had on the side, which were cafes, restaurants, and catering companies, I decided to sell. I had sold everything, and I actually decided to sell because I was in an industry that didn't allow me to watch my son play football and futsal. I was always rushing, dropping him off, going to work, coming back, ringing my wife saying, how'd they go? What happened here? What happened there? Yeah, how was the game? And, you know, oh, man, I missed everything. So I sort of said, I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to have a bit of a break. And then I just started to talk with Guy and Sean quite a lot. And eventually they realized they needed someone new in and employed me initially part-time. So I did a bit of part-time work. And, man, the amount of work that I was doing part-time was equivalent to 2 full-time people. As Guy will know, man, the amount of work we do behind the scenes is just phenomenal. So it's a tough industry to be in. You would know too, Andre, with your work behind the scenes, it's not just get on there and coach and get the kids on the court. It's, man, talking to parents, making sure, you know.
We say that for every hour that you are on the court, there's probably 4 times more work, off of the court,
easy,
isn't it?
Andre.
That's right, easy. Yeah. So my role ended up becoming a full-time role, and that was, I think it was almost 5 years ago. So and I was employed as the general manager to look after things on a day-to-day basis. And we've grown from just Sydney to Western Australia to Queensland, two more states, and, you know, a moving train, you could say. But look, we'll get to what our vision is and all that kind of stuff shortly, but love it.
Guy, the Soccer de Brasil is now in 3 states, WA, Queensland, New South Wales. How did everything start in Australia?
Well, it started in New South Wales. That was when I came in first, but because I think I had a pretty decent background back in America and then in Spain, it gave me a little bit of knowledge to really, you know, start it and take off. So when I came to Australia, I worked for an academy first, just so I could see, you know, understand a little bit about the city. I didn't know where I was going to live. My first house was in Collaroy, Northern Beaches. So I had to catch a taxi from the airport to Collaroy. So I already forked out at least $200 just on a taxi. But then as I got to know the city and the location, I just started by myself, Soccer de Brasil. Now in Sydney, one-on-ones, I was coaching for East FC. I think it's a soccer club in Eastern Suburbs. And on the side, doing SDB. And then at the moment that you grow in the amount that it was decent, I, you know, left all my other side jobs and took off with SDB full-time.
Full-time. And looking back, I know you made it. You made it very short. Some of the highlights from this 11, 12 year old company now, 10 years old company. How long? How many years?
Man, I think since 2009.
2009, so 13 years.
13 well, years.
What are some of the highlights of this 13 years old company, Academy?
I mean, it happens so much. I think again, I want to use the word of taking risks and go for it. So many things happened to us, but one thing that we didn't throw the towel, and it just got us stronger and stronger. And now being in three states, for me, it's already a big win. And I don't know, the highlight might be the team that we're forming with Theo here now, and Sean and Amalia, Leandro, Renato, and we have our technical directors, one on each location. The highlight for me is the team that we're building.
All right, highlights. What about the achievements? Achievements of something that you're really proud of in the last 13 years?
I'm
similar question. I just want to hear from you.
Yeah. No, I'm just proud to keep fighting to continue developing futsal. I think this is for me is to believe on a vision that we have, which is futsal. It is, especially for younger children, the most important tool to develop. And we will talk about why futsal is so good, but yeah.
Man, I think if I just jump in there, Andre, I think Guy undersells what he's achieved in the last 13 years.
That's what I felt as well. I was trying to hear from him.
Let me just say that from a Brazilian, that's very unprecedented to undersell themselves. So for Guy, this guy has put futsal, I'll say New South Wales and Sydney more than anything. He put the futsal in the youth ages on the map in Sydney. A lot of people would oppose futsal in the football world. And, man, this guy just kept persisting. And he's a persistent person that has got the business, along with Sean, his partner, to where it is now, and to futsal where it is now, especially, you see the proof is in the pudding when you see them on the court. But we continue with futsal, even though people have said, man, we're not sending our kids to futsal. We try and convince people, futsal. And he does a lot of that.
And what do you guys offer? What are some of the programs that you guys offer in the academy in each state?
Oh, wow. I think each state is growing slowly. I think Sydney at the moment is the most complete with all the programs that we've been aiming and working to make it happen. So we have the Futsal Academy, which was the pioneer. And then came the 1v1. The holiday came through the school holiday so they could keep on training. The Football Academy now, which is, we will talk about it, that's the combination that we always aim in all three states. Goalkeeper training now, so we're specializing in goalkeeping. Girls Academy was something that, wow, finally we were able to provide just for the girls because a lot of them were just mixed. The Jenga sessions, we took out one piece of the football and we training kids once a week, 1 hour, only 1v1. To learn how to improvise, because the improvisation can break any defending system, because the defender will never know what you're going to do. So we took one day of the week and we go, here we go, guys, enjoy, 1v1, take them, enjoy. And now we have the overseas tour that we had to stop for a few years. Theo can talk about that because he was the one that organizes all the tours. We did three so far. And we stopped for 2 years, and now we're going to go again in September. And now our brand new program, which is the PDE, Perceive, Decide, and Execute. It was another moment that we took from the futsal training to only focus on decision-making, on an overload, on a small side of game, so the player can think even faster to make sure when they transfer to an outdoor game or when they go to a futsal match, they can you know, make decisions faster throughout the game. So, man, it's a lot of programs. And the parents can choose, Andre. The parents can just, okay, my son needs technique. My son needs to focus just on a technical part. Okay, one-on-one, here's for you. Man, and then here we go. So, I don't know, 8-9 programs that we offer on our system.
Guy and Theo, I don't know who wants to answer this one. One of the biggest issues or challenges that people find of in Australia is actually finding coaches. So I get a message from clubs in New South Wales. I got messages. I don't want to mention the name of the clubs, but big clubs, one of the biggest ones. I want to find futsal coaches. How do you guys find your coaches?
Man, it's not that easy. You know, we agree. Finding coaches is a difficult thing. Prerequisite for coaches for us is integrity, is the person and what the person is. There's a lot of coaches out there who have the basics on how to coach and so on, but it's what's inside the person, making sure they can connect with kids, connect with the age groups, you know, from young, from even 3-year-olds through to adults. Because everyone thinks they're a coach, but when you put them in front of a group of kids, man, that's when you know you can coach kids. You can keep them in line. So we go through a big process, interview stage, trial stage, assessment stage. We do pretty much 6-monthly or even 3-monthly assessments where we, the technical directors have a report, give feedback to the coach, make sure that they're following the curriculum, which we have. We just don't say go out there and coach what you think. There's a specific curriculum that Guy has put in place and all coaches need to follow that. Finding coaches is difficult. We put ads out sometimes and we get zero people that are suitable. Andrea, but then we get...
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Theo, right. And then I'll put one.
Man, we get people coming from overseas. So we've made mistakes of bringing... Hopefully it doesn't go to someone who thinks it's a mistake. It wasn't a mistake in bringing the last few people over from overseas. But
you learned a few lessons, yeah.
Yeah, many, many years ago, we've looked at people from overseas and said, let's get them in. And then, you know, things don't work, friends of friends might come and say, I'm a coach. And then, man, it's a long process. So you don't just get a job. You have to do a trial period and prove yourself. And I'm pretty happy to say right now that our group of coaches – is amazing what we have right now. So Guy.
Yeah, no, very simple. 99% of the coaches that are with us today, they weren't a coach before. As Theo said, they had the hard work ethic, and throughout our training to coach the coaches today, they're awesome. So answer to your question, to find a real futsal coach, it's impossible, but to build someone to become a futsal coach, that's it. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, man. Go ahead, Theo.
I was going to say, man, being a coach in Australia is really difficult. The financial gain from it is not enough to have a full-time job majority of the time. So people have to go through that process of knowing they might have to go on the building site during the day and then come and train futsal at night. And it takes a really strong person to be able to do that and know that if they continue, that eventually it can work out into a favorable position full-time. And we've got quite a few coaches now that are full-time that went through. We had a guy washing dishes for many years, and he's now the technical director of New South Wales. You know, we had another guy driving Uber. He's now up in Queensland with a full time role. Mm-hmm. Those people got their full time roles because of the what's in here, the work ethic, the heart, the belief in our philosophy.
They believe in the philosophy and in the curriculum. I want to hear about now, Guy. Theo mentioned that you wrote this curriculum that the coach have to follow. Talk us through a little bit of this curriculum of Soccer de Brazil.
Look, it's an open curriculum. Okay, anyone can come in and give your suggestions so we can keep on building. For sure, there's a line that everyone needs to follow, but it's open as well for them to give their input and say, look, this is what I have. We have a look and we go, fantastic. It does make sense from the vision. So we have to follow a pathway. And so we have, it's an extended curriculum. And now with our new technical director for football, we are adding now the football curriculum into the futsal curriculum. And it's coming down where our biggest goal today is to combine both. And combining both in all three states, that's our main goal, to make sure our curriculum, we can close it and say, here we go, it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Do kids train futsal and soccer at the same time the whole year round?
That's what we try to do. Well, different states. Theo can talk a little bit about New South Wales. Here in WA, they have been playing futsal the whole year round. This weekend, we started our season number 7. So it's been 7 seasons playing futsal the whole year round, winter and summer. And I can tell you, man, the majority of the kids been here since day one. So the parents bought the vision, the kids bought the vision, and it's fantastic. Now with the new technical director for football, Fernando Lambert, we're now implementing and starting a football academy once a week on Thursdays. So on the next winter, we can start entering teams into the Football West football competition. And then we will work it out a plan where futsal and football continues throughout the whole year round.
We'll get you in South Wales and quiz in a sec, Theo, just holding there. But let's focus on WA now. It's the last state, but it feels like it's the most, is the one that you'd say that is the in the perfect position now. The kids are playing futsal the whole year round. Where do they play futsal the whole year round?
Pro Futsal has been doing an amazing job for more than a decade. El Abrahams, he's the CEO, and the job that he has been doing in WA is extremely beautiful, because it's not only provide a competition, you need to sell it as well to the parents that the futsal is a good environment and it's a great development for the kids. And he's doing the job fantastic. Now he expand in Melbourne and believe in New South Wales as well. South Australia, I think.
Yeah, he's in South Australia, Queensland.
Man, you got to take the hat off for him. It's fantastic. And so, that's why I love WA.
we had Eldon on the podcast, and Eldon, he invited the Alex Novatsitsis, which is the futsal representative from Football West. So Eldon invited Alex to come on the podcast, and Alex said on the podcast that Pro Futsal runs futsal for Football West in WA. You are in WA, and you can say that that's a successful partnership, isn't it?
Yes. It took a little bit of time, but they got it, man. They got it. Football West bought in, and they're together. And having a support from, you know, the state, you know, what else can you get? But it was a lot of hard work to get there.
In the other two different states, Queensland and New South Wales, how does the academy work in those two states?
So, look, in Queensland, there's pretty much futsal all year round as well. It's probably not as big as WA, and there's a lot of smaller operators that are running competitions. And STB, look, we need to say we don't affiliate with anyone in particular. We want futsal to grow. So we want to play in every competition. We want to be available to, you know, to play in. If someone asks us, can you put teams in? Yes. If it's whether it's pro futsal, whether it's Football Australia, Football New South Wales, Football Queensland, Football West, we're happy to play. Whether it's Tony from FAF, we're happy to play. We just want kids and adults to play. So in Queensland, look, there is a bit of a futsal scenario that goes all year round. You know, you've got Armando and Andrew Parks that run a lot of competitions up there. You've got Vinny up there that runs competitions. So I think the biggest trouble is New South Wales at the moment, specifically Sydney.
Why is that?
Where, look, there's very few futsal competitions for the juniors. You know, people have tried to get things off the ground and it just doesn't seem to work. Football in New South Wales has seemed to strangle futsal. The competition of football has gone longer. The venues aren't available. The clubs in New South Wales, the football clubs aren't allowing players to play futsal or to attend academy sessions or to play in anything that's related to something that's not football New South Wales. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not bagging football New South Wales because everyone's got a job to do. You know, there are great people who work at football New South Wales that are trying to do things for futsal. I just think that the scenario we're in now in New South Wales is really difficult. I mean, I can tell you right now, I don't know of a futsal competition where it's easy just to get teams into. I mean, Football New South Wales is not running a competition. And what happens is if we try and make a competition, people always say, is it a sanctioned competition by sanctioned. Football New South Wales? And if it's not, then very few people want to play or very few clubs want to put teams in. And it always ends up being SDB putting teams in and playing against each other. And we don't want that. We want competition. We want other clubs to put teams in. Man, it's a difficult time right now. So I'm really hoping that Football West and L in WA have got something similar, whether it's L, whether it's Tony from FAF, whether it's Football New South Wales, whether it's Football Australia. Man, we got to make this work in New South Wales because for the adults, for the men's team, yes, there's futsal all year round. But for juniors, we rely on juniors, man, like for the next futsal ruse. Yeah. Without the juniors, we've got nothing.
And Andre, just open to everyone. Oh, you have to be affiliated to this and that so you can play. No, just provide a competition. Open to any club, any academy, anyone that just want to put kids to play the game. That's it.
Yeah. Look, I've reached out. I've reached out a couple of times through different associations that are with Football New South Wales to help create a futsal club. But you know, it doesn't seem to work. The Sydney Futsal Cup, which is another competition.
Just hold on 1 second, Theo, before we talk about Sydney Futsal Cup. Yeah. You wanted to create a futsal club to be able to play in the football New South Wales Futsal League. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we'd love to. Yeah, we if someone asked us to create a club tomorrow,
and what does it take to create a club?
Well, there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and I don't know the real scenario around it. I hear a lot about trying to get into those competitions is difficult. You got to have a proper structure, which we have. I don't think anyone's got a better structure than us in terms of a business model and ability to deliver what we promise.
And field the teams as well.
Field the teams. So, but you need to be affiliated with Football New South Wales. So to get affiliated is probably the difficult thing, and to get the buy-in from Football New South Wales to allow us to show them what we have. I think there's a bit of a standoff between clubs and academies. So the current clubs that are in Football New South Wales competitions may have a bit of a, get their back up and say, no, we don't want these guys to come in because it may distribute too many players out of their own clubs. But look, I don't know that for sure. That's just from a lot of talk around. I've never had someone say that directly to me from one of the clubs. But look, for instance, last year, one of the clubs from Football New South Wales pulled out. Inner West Magic.
Inner West Magic pulled out.
How many years have they been there?
How many years have they been there?
We must mention that Inner West is one of the most successful clubs. I think they used to win the club's championship.
Now, look, I don't know the full background of why he's pulled out or why they've pulled the club out, but man, we'd be happy to step in and help. You know, even if it wasn't our club, we'd be happy to step in and help. If someone said we need a new club, our hand is up. I could field, we could field teams tomorrow in every age group, from kids through to men's. We've got men's team ready to go. We've got, you know, and our men's team performed so well. I mean, we finished third in the Gold Coast International without ever training, our coaches were coaching all day and then had to go and play at the same time, you know, no preparation, and we finished third. It's like, I'm sure we could be competitive there. So, but look, that's another story, you know, trying to build a club.
It's a bit of a surprise because when we hear about futsal in New South Wales, we just see 12 foot out of the 14 futsal rules, 12 players were from New South Wales. So clearly the talent is there. They have the talent of having good players. It's a bit of surprise. We're in WA, the other states, we have pro futsal. In Victoria, we have pro futsal, we have futsal us. So you're saying that we need a if football in South Wales can organize the competition, we need another private organization to go there and they're going to have 30 teams ready to go from you guys.
Easy.
Yeah, so
it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. I mean, we had to cancel a competition that was set up because there was too many SDB teams. We said we don't want to go into a competition and just play ourselves. We'll just do it ourselves. It's not because of money or anything like that, because we don't want to we don't want parents to have to turn up and go, is it another SDB team we're playing? Mm-hmm. Now, you may say we've taken the market, but there's no one else. You know, there's nothing else.
The market adjusts itself. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Look, I think it is. The issue is finding a location and someone to really run it. Look what this football academy competition, the PAL, that the Nationals in a week time, Premier Academy League, look at the big damage they did in New South Wales. How many teams on this competition tier?
Can you explain it to me?
So the football scenario in New South Wales, you've got Football New South Wales again that has clubs that are affiliated there, and then you have academies. Academies and clubs cannot play against each other. They're two different streams. So the Premier Academy League is an academy competition where private academies play competition against each other every week. And it's grown from very small to, I think, around about 30, almost 30 academies in New South Wales that play each week. It's grown to Victoria, and it's also now going to launch, I believe, in Queensland later on this year or next year. I'm not sure about that. But now they're running a national cup where teams from all over Australia are coming to and play at Western Sydney Wanderers' home ground. Next weekend, we've got team from Western Australia coming over. We've got teams from New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria. The similar thing needs to happen in futsal. If Football New South Wales doesn't come to the party and create a competition all year round, we need someone to run a competition so that academies and clubs can enter all year round.
Anyone.
Guys, I'm just going to leave it all there for Peter Parthimos if he's listening, for Elder if he's listening. Go to New South Wales and open a center there, and then they're going to... Competition is good for everyone. At the end of the day, if there is a private organization running a good job, Football New South Wales is going to have to run an even better job there.
Yeah. Can I just one more thing on this type of discussion. A couple of years ago, the Sydney Futsal Cup ran a great tournament, right? It's been asked to be sanctioned by Football New South Wales, and it's been given the no sanction, right? Reason why, I don't know. It's the best futsal competition in Sydney to go to. Teams are high level. They all want to play. That's all they want to do. They just want to play. Kids want to play.
4 days, 3 games per day.
Incredible. Coaches want to coach. We need more of this. And again, yeah, you're right, Peter. If Peter from Melbourne, he's done an amazing job with what he does there. L in WA, Tony with FAF, Vinny in Queensland. There's so many guys that are doing things, but we can't get it right here. Mm-hmm. The only competitions are maybe a PCYC competition.
Look, one step at a time. We're going to get... I think it's a good momentum for futsal in Australia where things are happening. And we just have to put out there so people can hear and people can start fixing these issues for us. Hopefully next time we're not going to have these issues again. Guys, there's so much we can talk about. What's the mission of Soccer do Brasil?
Man, we will strive to be the leading in developing children through soccer. Yeah, and futsal in any type of environment, like all these 9 programs that we offer. Okay, so we will always inspire, entertain, and educate our players. So we develop world-class players, professional players, and we also develop players for life, the ones that want to build friendship, the ones that are going to be friends for a long time. When you have your full-time job, you're still going to be playing futsal with your mates, you know. So that's our mission, man.
Man, and our vision as an academy is to improve Australia as a football and futsal nation. Man, just through youth development. Man, that's it. We want to make our nation strong now in football and futsal. Now that the futsal roos are back, even more even more more dreams for that, because previously futsal wasn't on the radar and it was all football. Now with futsal, man, like, you know, that's our vision, you know, to see Australia. It does create
a pathway for everyone to inspire to, doesn't it?
100%, yeah. It's the first thing I said when Futsal Roos came back, I was like, thank God. There was a lot of people on the chats, you know, negative and so on. But, man, anything for the Futsal Roos is positive, whether it's Football Australia doing it or someone else, as long as there's something and a pathway there.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if there's 10 futsal players from New South Wales that are representing futsal rules. Doesn't matter. They're there. It's a good start.
Yeah, man.
It is a good start. The first step is done. Go for it, yeah.
I was going to say, man, there's so many people wanting to do the good things for futsal in Australia. The people we've already mentioned, there's a lot more. You know, there's guys that are players that are very vocal, you know, and they all want the best for futsal. It's just a matter of coming together as a group with the guys from Football Australia and making something work for everybody to make sure that we get the best development, the best player pathways, the best result for futsal. Man, I know that's what you want too, Andre. You know,
we have a platform now. Before there was nowhere that people could talk. So people were still talking and we just couldn't hear them. And now people can talk and you can see the comments. So it's...
Yeah.
Social media allows us to have a say, you know, have for people to hear us.
It's brilliant.
Going back to Soccer do Brasil, have you guys ever considered changing the name from Soccer do Brasil to Futsal do Brasil?
Not really.
I have mentioned to you, Gui, that that's one thing that I wish you had, a Futsal do Brasil.
Yeah, we are named as STB. Because, as I said, I mentioned you about 9 different programs that we offer. Futsal was the pilot they started, but there's also other ways to learn football. And that's why we don't want to keep it just one singular name for one single program, but we want to make sure STB a branch. You want to become a better football player throughout our programs that we offer.
Yeah. I'll jump in quickly just to touch on that a bit further. We acknowledge that soccer is the old way of referring to football. Football is football. It's not, you know, soccer is only really in Australia and America and so on. And I guess Guy came up with soccer as he was from America. He brought it from America to Australia. But we've realised that. So and we realise that we are both football and futsal. So we're moving away from one or the other. Like Guy said, we're going to call it, we're now SDB Academy or SDB. Just to touch on a bit of our structure, Guy is the National Technical Director of Futsal, and we've employed Fernando Lambert, who's the National Technical Director of Football. So we can split our academy because more and more kids are now making the decision. So... yes, we believe futsal is a great tool for football players, but we also recognize that futsal is its own sport. Man, if it was governed by anyone else but let's say FIFA didn't govern it and it was one governing body, I think it would be bigger in the world than what it is right now. But we recognize that futsal is its own sport and people need to make the choice at a certain age. I know a lot of players in New South Wales, especially, that love futsal, but because there's no pathway, they're doing both still. So that's why we've gone down the pathway of having a futsal technical director and a football technical director, because they are two different sports at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get excited because, I'm very biased. I'm just futsal. I don't have anything to do with soccer, but... are we going to see Soccer do Brasil, SDB, in all the states in Australia anytime soon? What's missing to have one here in Victoria, one in South Australia, ACT,
Northern Territory? I think first we're getting the structure right in WA. Queensland is still a baby, still very new. I think we need to settle down there first. We're not going to say, no, we're going to stop here. No, the goal is to improve Australia as a football and futsal nation. So the vision already says, yeah. So I don't think we're going to stop just on these three states, but
we'll and it's about quality. It's about quality. As you touched on before, getting quality coaches is difficult. So we don't run on a franchise system. Everything is run by the company. So all our coaches are paid, from the company. There's no franchising or anything like that. The curriculum is the same. Management is the same all Australia-wide. But if you start spreading yourself too thin, you lose quality. You lose quality. And we above all, we want quality. Yes, we need money to survive, but so does everybody. It's not about making money for us. It's about making our vision, believe in our vision. And money is a byproduct of that. So it helps us to live a life.
Yeah, and speaking about quality, we have coaching education twice a week for all the coaches. It's a mentoring that we have. We have a mentor from Brazil, Antonio Wagner, and he does provide us with the latest in futsal, all the methodology. He knows what Australia STB is all about, so there is a lot of studies behind it, so we can make sure we always keep upgrading ourselves, the coaches, for one main thing: provide these kids the best opportunity they can have in the academy.
That's one thing that we miss in Australia is this education, coaching education. We do have the Australian Futsal Coaching License, which is run by FFA, but it hasn't been run in the last year or something. We have the AFC Level 1 and AFC Level 2. We also they haven't been run in the past few years. But this coaching mentorship, it's a good idea. And I want to leave out there that if anyone wants to do this coaching mentorship or consultancy, we have contacts overseas that we can hook you guys up with. Not just, awesome. not you guys, but anyone that is listening to the podcast.
Fantastic.
Gee, Theo, I think that's it. That's a wrap for the podcast. We could stay here talking for many, many hours.
Yeah, man, we got lots to say, but not much time, I know.
Lots to say, but I think we cover everything. So it's been amazing to talking to you guys. And every time I see you guys, it reminds me of good memories. So awesome talking to you guys.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Andre, thanks for the opportunity. Allowed us to express ourselves a little bit into the community, the futsal community. Let's keep on working together and make sure futsal keeps on growing in the whole Australia.
Likewise, Gui and Theo, I want to congratulate you both on your amazing, and Sean and the whole team from Soccer de Brazil and SDB. I want to congratulate you all on the amazing work you've been doing with futsal and soccer in the country. But especially on the futsal side, we need more people like you guys that are passionate about the game and believe the game as it is our own sport. Yeah, so not just as a tool for soccer in the country. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the podcast. And I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.